Ephesians chapter number 2 is where we need to turn in our Bibles this evening. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 tonight. That is our plan. And I want to move along and get into the Bible study because we do want to leave some time for prayer tonight, for the ladies to pray over the missionary letters, and for the men to be able to pray in here together. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse number 1. Now, by the way, let me just remind you of chapter number 1 and the fact that we looked at the many blessings that we have because we are in Christ in chapter number 1 until we got to verse number 15 where the Apostle Paul began to express to the Ephesians how he prayed for them. And the great amount of his prayer was that they would be enlightened by the Spirit of God about the great blessings that they had, the riches of the glory of the inheritance that Christ has in the saints. And of course, that is the Holy Spirit of God. And then he ended that chapter with talking about the fact that he was praying that they would be enlightened about the great power that was working in them. It was the same power that raised Christ from the dead. With that note now, chapter 2, verse number 1 begins. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If I were to title those 10 verses, I would title it Quickened, which the word quickened means made alive. And it's no accident that the previous chapter ends with a reminder or a prayer for the Ephesian Christians that they would be enlightened about the great power that God had exhibited in Christ's resurrection, and that power now being at work in their life. And he points specifically to the fact of Christ's resurrection and the fact that he has been risen up to the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. And then he references that to you and me, that we have also been quickened or made alive. It's that same power within us. And I want to go over a couple of these verses tonight. But before we do, let's ask God for his blessing one more time. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open up your word and to study it. Lord, our minds are feeble. Lord, our minds are easily distracted. Not only are they easily distracted and feeble, but Lord, we find it very hard to be able to understand spiritual things. Lord, we know that it is a spiritual exercise and not a mental one, and definitely not a physical one. So Lord, would you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, because you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, would you quicken our understanding? Would you help us to behold wondrous things out of your word, Lord, that we might glorify your name, I pray. Now Lord, would you give me the ability to preach and teach in such a way that your people will fall in love with your word even more? Lord, would you then give all of us understanding as we read it and study it? Make it come alive, I pray, dear Lord, for your sake. Again, your people have come. They've set aside this time so that they can hear from you, not from me. So please feed them. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, I would title these 10 verses, Quickened. And the Apostle Paul begins with really an introduction in verse number 1. Notice how he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." I've already mentioned to you that the word quickened means made alive. And God did make us alive. Well, why did he make us alive? Because we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, just think about that and meditate on that for just a moment. It says that we were dead in trespasses and sins.
The fact is that the Bible made it clear to us that when Adam and Eve brought sin into this world, that because we come from them, that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that word death is not hyperbole. It really does mean that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, obviously, it's not talking about our physical death, because we're still living and breathing and have been ever since, obviously, the moment of conception. But there is a spiritual death that actually goes far beyond that, and we were spiritually dead. Now, think about a dead person. If we were to have a person who that had ceased living, and we maybe we were having a funeral here, and that dead body were here in the casket, as we often have in funerals here. Just think about if we brought by, as often happens again in funerals, we brought by the prettiest flowers that we could possibly buy to commemorate that person's life. Now, you and I would enjoy those flowers, and we do so at a funeral, but the person whose body is lying there, it makes no difference what those flowers smell like. In fact, the person does not notice the flowers at all. And we could have a fine meal afterwards and enjoy the feast that the ladies would prepare and all of that. But again, that person who's dead has no ability to smell the fried chicken wafting up from downstairs or whatever it might be that we serve, right? And that dead person has no interest in the food that we would serve. Even if it could smell, there'd be no interest. Why? There's death there. It's a lifeless body. And friends, that's where you and I were before Christ, in sins and in trespasses. We literally were dead to God and to spiritual things. It was a spiritual death. And though there are many blessings about being a Christian and blessings about the Word of God, until there is spiritual life brought into a person, there is no desire for spiritual things, nor is there any enjoyment in those things. And you and I can try to entice the world with spiritual things, but friends, it won't work because they're dead in trespasses and sins. And what it takes, friends, is God quickening that person, making them alive. Now, the danger of that is for us to swing into what we might think of as Calvinism, right? Where this idea that, well, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, they never have any opportunity to choose Christ. And I believe that's a step too far. But at the same time, let us not swing the other way either. Let's remember that the Bible is clear that when a person is unsaved, they are dead in trespasses and sins. And that was you. It's easy to think of the world that way, but before you were saved, that was you. Let me make it a more specific example. Many of you grew up, as I did, in a Christian home. I had the opportunity to get saved very early in my life, and that's a blessing. But if I'm able to think back to before I got saved as a young child, I was just as dead as a young child before salvation as you were if you were saved at 35. It's still spiritual death, and it takes a movement of God. It takes the Spirit of God bringing life to a person, causing them to be born again. Look with me, if you would, at John chapter number 3, a passage of Scripture that you will be familiar with, I am sure. John 3, turn there, and when you find that place, I'm going to go over to John chapter number 1 and remind you of what it says there. Speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You see, it was God that brought life to us. When we receive Christ, it is because God worked in us to bring life to us. That's what that clearly teaches. It's not the will of the flesh, it's not the will of man, it's God. If you look at John chapter number 3, and let's look at verse number 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him," Nicodemus, a very religious man, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We find in that passage of Scripture what we found in John chapter number 1, which was that when someone is born again, it is a work of God. Now, he mentions there, the Lord Jesus does, two types of births. There is something that happens when we are born of the flesh, and I think we somewhat understand that, don't we? We understand that at the moment of conception, that person is brought into this world, and then obviously they go through the process of growth and development in the mother's womb, and then they're physically brought into this world outside of the mother's womb. That is all a working of the flesh. But then there is a birth of the Spirit that we do not really understand outside of what Scripture tells us, that it's a working of God. Now, you and I might look at our lives before we got saved and we say, well, I was a religious person and I kind of even enjoyed religion. But friends, the Bible's clear, that's just flesh. Remember, Nicodemus was a religious person. And I would imagine that Nicodemus even enjoyed his religion. But according to Jesus' own words, if he were not born again, he would not enter into the kingdom. You see, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So flesh can enjoy religion, but it's not the same as enjoying the things of God. It's possible to enjoy religion for religion's sake and yet not be a born-again individual. And that's what Nicodemus was facing. Which brings us back to Ephesians chapter number 2, where again in our introduction, we learn that we were dead in trespasses and sins. But what happened? We were quickened. We were made alive. Life was brought to us by the Spirit of God. And I'm praising God for that, and I trust you are as well. Now, remember that the whole theme here of the book of Ephesians is unity, which brings us now to verse number 2. Speaking about us, it says, wherein, in other words, in trespasses and sins, in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And I would title verse number 2, a rebellious walk. Before you and I were saved, we walked according to the course of this world. Why did we do the things that we do? Or did, I should say. Because that was the course of this world. Why do the people around us who are unsaved, why do they do what they do? Because it's the course of this world. We can almost think of it as a current in the ocean or a current in the air where the birds fly. It's going that direction. And so they just kind of follow along with the flowing current. And that's the way this world is. And friends, I want to remind you of what the Bible says, that that's the way you were. You were dead, a dead corpse floating along in the current. That's why the Bible warns us in 1 John chapter number 2. Let's turn over there. 1 John chapter 2. The Bible gives us a warning here about that current or that course of the world. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I believe those verses right there explain to us what the course of the world is like. It gives us those categories of everything that's in the world. All of the current is in those areas. It is the lust of the flesh, what makes the flesh feel good, doing what pleases the flesh. Not only the lust of the flesh, but the lust of the eyes, what pleases the eyes, that which makes a person feel good just by looking at things. That's the way this world is. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and then the pride of life. It's all that direction. Why does the world do the things that it does? Because that's the way the world is going. And those people are dead. And just like a dead body, again, that would be here, when it would be time to take the casket out, the dead body has no say in where it goes. It's just carried along the way that the people who are bearing the casket carry it. And friends, it's the same way with somebody who is unsaved. And that's the way you and I were before we got saved. Which leads us back to Ephesians chapter 2. And notice it says not only that we walked according to the course of this world, but it says according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. The word prince, I think, is pretty easy for us to understand. It's somebody with some authority. But what I would have you notice in that word prince is there is another word in our King James Bible that is used that is very similar and actually comes from a very similar Greek word as well, and that is the word principality. We've heard that before, haven't we? Principality. We know that there are principalities in this world. It's the idea that there is a spiritual lord of this world. We're not talking about capital L Lord as in the Lord Jesus Christ, not talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but we are talking about some of those lowercase lords that really do exist in this world, and we were following the course of this world. Well, who sets the course of this world? The prince of this world does. The Lord Jesus Christ referenced him in his own ministry, and he talked about a time when the prince of the world was judged. He was obviously talking about Satan. But he calls him not just the prince, but the prince of the power of the air. The word power is not used as in the Greek word, was it dynamos or something like that, I think is the one that's often behind, like the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's not that Greek word. It's a Greek word that refers to power as in authority. He is the prince of the power of the air. In other words, the power as in he has been put in a place of power. And he's the prince of that power. He's the highest ranking one, and we know him as Satan. But he's the prince of the power, or we could say authority, of the air. That word air is not necessarily talking about us breathing in and out oxygen and all the rest that comes into our lungs. It's talking about the atmosphere. It's also sometimes in our English Bible, it is translated heaven, not as in the heaven of heavens where God dwells, but as in the birds fly in the heaven around the earth. It's the same Greek word behind that. It's the prince of the power of the air. What that is telling us is this, something that we already know from Scripture is that the Satan himself is the one who currently has jurisdiction over this place. Now, all of the things that Satan does have to go through the ultimate authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But for the time being, Satan does have jurisdiction over this place. He's the one who rules here. You and I are strangers and pilgrims in this world. And we need to always remember that. That's why sometimes if you're like me, you can get frustrated with things as you look around. One of the things that often frustrates me is my family and I will be watching some program on television, maybe some educational program or something like that with the children, and there will be some advertisement for, let's just say it's some kind of a medication that, you know, you can ask your doctor about this medication. Amazing how many of those there are, isn't there? And this medication commercial will show two homosexuals on it, very obviously trying to show that these are two homosexuals. And it's a medication that has absolutely nothing to do with that area of life. And I get frustrated with that, but I have to remember they're just walking according to the prince of the power of the air. You see, Satan has jurisdiction in this world currently, and so they are following his marching orders. And to you and me, it's foreign, but that's because we are strangers and pilgrims. We are ambassadors in a strange land. But he is the prince of the power of the air. But here's the thing that I can remember. Keep your place in Ephesians 2. Just look back at chapter number 1 and look at verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What I need to be encouraged about is Jesus is set at the throne of the Father, far above all these principalities and powers. Now, for right now, again, Satan has been given jurisdiction. We understand that. But friends, it will not be forever. And you and I ought to be comforted by that, encouraged by that, that yes, the prince of the power of the air is setting the course of this world right now, but he will not be able to do that forever. There is coming a day when he will be judged. But in the meantime, as we look around, we should not be surprised. But I want you to notice at the end of verse number 2, the phrase that is used there. It says, the prince of the power of the air. Notice the last, pardon me, the last phrase. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice that it is said that there is a spirit working in the children of disobedience. Children of disobedience being the unsaved. There's a spirit that works in them. Does that sound familiar at all to you? Because it should. As Christians, we have a spirit that works in us. You see, it's the Spirit of God within me that it is to will and to do of his good pleasure. But the children of disobedience, the unsaved, also have a spirit, have a spirit working in them. And those are contrary. Which, by the way, is a reminder of why the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church that you should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because what communion hath Christ with Belial? What communion hath light with darkness? Those things cannot have communion. There's a spirit working in them and a spirit working in you. Let me take the opportunity, since we do in our church have a blessing of a lot of young adults that are still single, let me remind you of what the Bible is clear about. And that is that you are, if you are a born-again believer, you are to marry a born-again Christian, or you're not to get married. Do not marry someone who you are not 100% sure is saved. Because here's the problem. If you, as a saved person, marry someone who is unsaved, you are marrying someone who has a spirit working in them that is contrary to the Spirit of God within you. And there is no way that you will get along. No way. It will not work. There will be clashes. I'm not saying that you couldn't stay married. Oh, you can. But that's because you can stay married to pretty much anybody. But you'll be miserable. You want to marry somebody that you can be going in the same direction as. And that's why even in business, the Bible is clear, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because there's a spirit in them that is contrary to us. It's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And how that encourages me is this. I'm to remember that it's not their fault that they do what they do. They're walking according to the course of this world. They're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And it reminds me of chapter number 6 in Ephesians. Turn over there with me if you would. And verse number 12. Chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So the answer to the situation that we're in is not to get upset at people who are walking according to the course of this world, but to recognize that the reason they're walking that way is it is a spiritual battle. And the battles that you and I are facing right now are spiritual battles. The reason our nation is falling apart is a spiritual battle. And that's why the greatest weapon we have in the spiritual battle outside of the Holy Spirit of God within us is prayer. Seeking God's face and asking God to do great things and all of that. But as we look around and we get frustrated sometimes, as I mentioned before, with all that's going around us, we shouldn't be. Because we need to remember they're just doing what the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's working in them, is telling them to do. And go figure, it's opposite of the direction that we are going. But that's all right, because we can remember, and this is what we'll see next week, we can remember that not that long ago, that's the same way we were going. Even me, as a pastor's child, at a very young age, before I was saved, I was just doing what the spirit that was working in me wanted me to do. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience. And I needed God to come along and quicken me. And thank God he did. And parents, that's what we need God to do with our kids. We need God to quicken them. Friends, that's what we need God to do with our relatives and our neighbors and our friends that we're trying to witness to. We need God to quicken them, make them alive, and bring them to a place of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the book of Ephesians, and I pray to your Lord that you'd help us to continue to learn from these passages of Scripture. Thank you for quickening us even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Lord, forgive us for our anger and our frustration at the lost around us. Help us to remember, Lord, that it is the spirit of disobedience working in them. And we should not be upset with them, but rather we should pray and seek your face, stand up for what is right, and speak the truth if peradventure you would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Lord, would you help us to do that, I pray. Help me especially, Lord. You know my weakness in that area. Please help me and help all of us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, very good. Ladies, I'm going to let you be dismissed down to the Ladies' Missions Fellowship. Nobody has to go, but I would encourage you, ladies, they could use help, and so they will do that, and we'll try to get those things done even in a timely manner down there. And men, we will pray up here. Rebecca, you'll let the nursery workers know just that if they want to join, they can. Maybe kind of keep an eye on that. If there's a need for someone to help with that, that'd be great. All right, very good. The rest of us will meet here, and we'll pray. And like I said before, kids are welcome to stay up here or go down with the ladies. Whatever the parents want them to do, I'm fine with. All right. Those of you watching via live stream, we're going to dismiss at this time the live stream. All right, so we can pray in here and all of that. And so you should have the prayer request sheets via email, and I would encourage you to pray over those things. All right.